Turn with me, please, in your scriptures to Colossians, the fourth chapter. The epistle of St. Paul the Apostle to the Colossians. The fourth chapter and the 12th verse. Verse 12 of chapter 4. Epaphras, who was one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. And this morning I want to talk to you about the work of prayer. The Bible describes prayer as a work. And it is only as you and I come to this realization, it is only as you and I see prayer as a work, that we will be effective in prayer, that we will be fervent in prayer, that we will give ourselves to prayer. As we see that in God's economy, prayer is meant to be a work. Now, when a man goes to do something, when a man goes to work at something, he first of all prepares himself. And we have spoken in times past of something of the preparation that is needed for a work of prayer and for intercession. We know that if we regard iniquity in our hearts, the Lord will not hear us. First of all, we must have hearts that are clean and pure and crystal clear before the Lord himself. We must have hearts that are burning with a passion toward God, the one to whom we pray. We must come to the Lord. If we're going to work in prayer, we must prepare our hearts for faith. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we must give ourselves to reading the word of the Lord. We must give ourselves to reading the word of God if we are going to work effectually in prayer. We must not only have clean hearts, and we must not only have a heart that is full of the word of God, but we must have a desire in our hearts to pray. And it is at this point that most people fall down. We lack in desire. We lack in heat. We lack a desire to pray, many of us. It is not until we see the importance of prayer, it is not until we see just how necessary prayer is, I believe, that we will begin to have this desire. And oh, beloved, I want to tell you this morning that the greatest need in this country today is prayer. The greatest need in the church of God is prayer. The greatest need, as far as the unsaved are concerned, is for prayer. Last night I spoke to a group, I don't know how many were there, perhaps a couple of hundred young people. And oh, how I felt the resistance of the enemy. And oh, how I felt the onslaught of Satan. And this should not really have been so. It should have been subdued and beaten by prayer. But we lack in prayer, and we know so little about the work of prayer. And beloved, I come to you this morning to exhort you to do what Epaphras did. The Apostle Paul says, Epaphras, who is one of you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. And it is about this labor that I want to speak to you this morning. This working in prayer. The Bible calls it labor. Hard work. And prayer is not just a performance of an hour. Prayer is not just going to the Wednesday night prayer meeting and praying. Prayer is not just coming here on Sunday morning and praying. Prayer, in the Bible sense of the word, is meant to be a work. And work can be hard. But James says to us that the effectual prayer and the effectual fervent prayer, that word fervent can mean working prayer, that effectual fervent or working prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Epaphras, who labors in prayer for you. Do you know anybody that labors in prayer? Do you know anybody that treats prayer as a work? We do nursing. We work in a shop or in a factory. We have our own business. And we are so careful about these things. We prepare ourselves for them and make sure that everything goes right. And somebody says to us, what do you work at? And we say, well, this is my vocation in life. And that's right. But as a Christian, you and I should work at prayer. And it is because we do not work at prayer, it is because we do not have this working prayer as we ought to have, that we are seeing the onslaughts of the enemy and the terrible inroads being made into the church. I haven't spoken to one minister in the last 6 or 8 weeks, not one single minister, but that he hasn't told me that he's having trouble with his young people. They're having trouble. He said, we don't know what to do. Well, I'll tell you what we have to do. We do not need another young people's program. We do not need more trips to the chateau. We do not need a greater program for interesting young people in the things of God. What we need is a prayer program. We must work at our prayer. One of the most, we have an example of how one man, because he worked at prayer, one man moved a whole nation. That man was Elijah. The Bible says in James that Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not by the space of 3 years and 6 months. So there's one man who set to his life to working at prayer, prayed over a nation, and was more powerful than the king because he prayed to God. And as he worked in his prayer, the Bible says that he could bind with his prayer. He bound up the heavens that there was no rain. And also the word of God says that he loosed in his prayer because he prayed again and the heavens gave rain. And all as we work in prayer, you and I have to learn how to bind and how to loose. For whatsoever whatsoever things you bind upon earth, Jesus said, shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever things you loose upon earth shall be loosed in heaven. And so it is that nationally speaking, as we think of our nation, and we all love our nation, those of us who are right-thinking people, we love our freedoms. We love the beautiful scenery and the wonderful things that God has given to us. Well, if we love our nation, we can pray for it. But we must work in our prayers. He had power in his prayer. He had power in his prayer, and he worked in his praying because he didn't share his burden with other people. He shared his burden with God. And, beloved, there are many of us who are willing to talk about the situation as it is today. There are many of us who are willing to say something about it or write about it, but how many of us are praying about it? We have to work at praying. We have another example of great blessing coming to a nation in the life of Moses. In Numbers chapter 20, there we read about Moses praying to God, and the Bible says that water came out of a rock for a thirsty nation, and the cattle and the men were fed. As this great man of God lifted his hands and his heart toward heaven, praying for a nation, God heard him because he was in the habit of working at prayer. One of the most wonderful studies in the Word of God is to study the prayer life of Moses. How this great man of God prayed always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Do you remember when Amalek set themselves upon Israel, and Joshua was down in the valley with his armies fighting against the children of Amalek? What does the Bible say? The Bible says that this man who worked at prayer was up on the hill, up on the mountain, with his hands lifted toward God, praying. And as he worked in his praying, as he kept those hands upraised high before the Lord and prayed, Israel prevailed. But when he couldn't continue to work, when his hands grew heavy, and perhaps his heart also, and they began to falter and to fall, then it was that Amalek prevailed. And let us face facts. largely speaking, beloved, Amalek is prevailing. And we must change this. We must be in that place where God can change it. And so it is that we must work at prayer. Some people could have said, Moses, what are you doing sitting up there praying while there's a battle on down in the valley? Why don't you get your sword and why don't you go down and help Joshua? No, Moses in his wisdom would have said no, but you see, our the real battle isn't in the valley. The real battle is in the heavenlies. The real battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. The real blood is not being fought down there where Joshua is. That's just the outcome. There in the valley we see the outcome of the spiritual battle being fought in the heavenlies. And so this man worked in his prayer. And he worked hard. And as he worked and as he prayed, the Lord got the victory. Epaphras, one of you, laboring always for you in prayer. We have another example of this in the early church. Here we see men and women on the day of Pentecost mightily and wonderfully, and oh, would to God that it would happen again. Mightily and wonderfully filled with the Holy Spirit, the unction of God was upon them. Things were happening. People were being healed. People were being raised from the dead. Wonderful things were happening. People looked at them and they saw that these men and women had power that came from another world. But what does the scripture say? It says that even in the midst of that unction, even in the midst of that power, the apostles said, we will give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Even when the power and the glory of God was flowing in the church of God, even when things were happening in such a wonderful way, these men still said, we will give ourselves to prayer. We will work at prayer. We will labor in prayer. We will not let up. And if there is one thing that that early church did, it prayed. It gave itself continually to prayer. Peter went to prison. They did not take a petition to the governor. They didn't run around town getting the signatures of important men and women so that Peter would be released from prison. No, the Bible says that they gave themselves to prayer. And even these people themselves didn't realize the wonderful power of prayer. Because the scripture says that as they gave themselves to prayer, God sent an angel from heaven who opened the gates that Peter might go free. And when he came knocking on the door, they couldn't believe it. Even in the early church, there were many who didn't realize the power that God had placed at their disposal as they gave themselves to prayer, but the gates were unloosened. Peter was set free, not by the might of man's arm, but by the power of God. Yes, it is a wonderful thing to work in prayer. And we could give you illustrations even right up to this present day. It's an amazing thing to me as an evangelist that as I go to different places to preach the word of God, the difference in the response in different places is always dependent upon the prayers of the people as they have prayed. I remember when we were in Kyle, a Sunday morning service in a Methodist church. It was packed to the doors. And a simple message was preached from the word of God and an invitation was given. And in less than 3 minutes, there were 25 people kneeling at the front, coming there to get right with God, coming there to be converted to Jesus Christ. And I knew that this just wasn't an everyday occurrence. It just didn't happen. And the Lord gave me the answer. When a married woman came up to me afterwards, or rather she went to the Brigadier Mahaffey and he came and brought her to me, and with her face shining, she said, last night at 10 o'clock, the Lord woke me up and he kept me in prayer for this meeting this morning until 2 a.m. And that's where the secret lay. This still happens today. And as we've gone to other places and seen the power and the glory and the blessing of God, and as we've seen hundreds of people come to Christ, It's always been because of the faithful men and women who gave themselves to the work of prayer, who labored fervently. Now, you may not be a preacher, but you can pray. You may not be able to make things with your hands, but you can make things with your hearts. You may be insignificant, you may say, but I'm at home and I'm lonely. I live in a room on my own and I'm lonely, but I tell you that you could change this nation if you would give yourself to working in prayer, to laboring in prayer. And it breaks my heart when I go to some places. You see, the evangelist doesn't take the blessing of God in a suitcase when he travels. All is a certain amount of blessing. God will bless a holy life. God will bless his word. The Lord will bless the gathering together of his people. There's a certain amount of blessing. But the great blessing of God that must be poured out upon us only comes when people work in prayer. And it breaks your heart when you go somewhere to preach the gospel and you realize that the people haven't prayed. Now, you and I must learn how to work in prayer. And the quickest way to learn is to be taught by the Holy Spirit himself. For the Spirit maketh intercession for us and through us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We must make ourselves available to the Spirit of God to pray. We must be in that place spiritually, and we must work until we are in that place spiritually, whereby the Lord himself is praying through us, whereby it is not just us working, but it is the Lord working through us in prayer. And many of us don't know a thing about this, and we ought to confess that to God and do something about it. We don't know anything about this working in prayer. We don't know what it means to get down on our knees and to say, well, now, Lord, I'm here just to work as a painter would do it. I'm here, Lord, to labor in prayer. I'm here to be moved upon by the Spirit of God so that he can push his burden, thy burden through my heart and make me to pray. And this working in prayer was a very, very great contributing factor to the success of the early church. In the epistles, we find Epaphras praying earnestly, laboring in prayer that the people might stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. That they may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. He prayed that they might know and do the will of God. And they did. Paul prayed for cooperation in Romans chapter 15. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed. He prayed for cooperation. He worked in prayer. He prayed that when he did go to preach, that the people would accept him and his message. The Apostle Paul prayed to be delivered from pressure. And oh, how pressures came in upon this wonderful godly man. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. And he goes on to say, ye also helping together by prayer for us. This man had many tensions and pressures brought upon his life. And it's not enough. Beloved, it's not enough to say to the preachers, well, just cast your burden upon the Lord, because it's not just the preacher's burden. It should be the burden of the church of God. And we must labor and work together in prayer in these things. Paul prayed for open doors. You say that's a remarkable thing that this great apostle should have to pray for open doors. That's right. He wasn't popular. Neither was his message. He says, withal praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. He prayed for utterance. He prayed for open doors, because he realized that unless the Lord did it, it couldn't be done. Unless it came in the first place from the hand of God, then it was just of the flesh. He worked, and so did the early church, in prayer. In 2 Thessalonians 3:1, he says, finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. Pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. In other words, pray that the word of the Lord may run, that it may flow freely. Now, this is a prayer that we need to pray today, that God's word will run, that it will have free course in the world. And we know that it isn't at the moment. Today, largely speaking, we look at so many churches and we see in those churches men standing in the pulpits who are not preaching from the Bible. They're not preaching the word of God. And there is a sense whereby we blame the theological colleges, or we blame the man himself. But let us cast the blame squarely where it belongs, that it doesn't only belong in the theological college or the man, it belongs in the congregation also. Because we have to pray, the congregation must pray, that the word of the Lord will have free course. And if a man came to this pulpit and tried to preach modernistic preaching, you should be able to pray him out of the pulpit. If a man came to this church and didn't preach in the will of God, then you should pray that God would shut his mouth. Let us pray that the word of the Lord will have free course and be glorified. And there are many, many other things in the word of God that the Apostle Paul prayed for. These are some of the things that they worked for and prayed for, and they gave themselves to prayer in a manner which spoke of working in prayer. And as you and I realize a deeper union with the Master, as we bring about in our lives through consecration and obedience a greater revelation of the Spirit of God, as we get more and more into the Word of God, let us remember that we have two advocates. The Lord Jesus prays for us, the Holy Spirit prays through us, and the Father himself waits to hear us. And so let us work in prayer. This brings me to my final point. Will you work in prayer? Will you give yourself to prayer? Would you spend an hour a day on your knees praying for the work of God in this mission and around the world? Would you work at it? Would you take that prayer list that has been prepared and pray over it and seek God's face about it and the people on it? Would you labor in prayer? Would you work in prayer? The Lord doesn't just want you to knit clothes for Corso. That's good. He just doesn't only want your presence at the open air or here in these meetings. He doesn't just only want your money that is necessary for the Lord's work. But oh, I believe the prayer, the cry that comes from the heart of God this morning is for his people to work in prayer, is for his people to labor in prayer, is for those who will give themselves to prayer. You don't have to be known. Oh, everybody talks about the preachers. They either bless him or roast him. They all talk about the preachers and the theologians and the teachers, but nobody ever talks about those that pray, but they're the ones that the Lord is really interested in. The unsung heroes of the faith that gave themselves to prayer. I read in some of my books at home that there were men 200 years ago that used to pray so much. that this sounds incredible, and if you don't know very much about prayer, you would wipe this off as absolutely fanatical, but it isn't really. These men used to pray so much that to stop themselves from going to sleep, they would walk out into the middle of an icy cold stream and pray there, so that they could work at prayer. They saw prayer as a labor. They couldn't say, "I enjoyed the prayer meeting." They couldn't say, "We had a happy time," because they were working, and they were working hard. Epaphras, who was one of you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. May the Lord himself make this you and me amongst those numbers of his chosen and wonderful people who labor fervently in prayer.